And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
I'm Deontay Burton, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Hamadou Diallo.
Hey, I'm Danilo Gallinari.
I'm Chris Paul, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Luke Dort, and I'm down to Dort.
What's Dort?
I'm not gonna lie, I don't know what that was.
In English, bro.
I'm Darius Baisley, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I'm Steven Adams.
I'm Andre Robertson, and I'm down to dunk.
On you.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schleck. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Ooh, boy, we got a juicy pod for today, guys. I've got Alex Spears and Michele Barra on the line here. We're also live on YouTube and on Periscope. Be sure to leave any comments if you guys have them or questions, and we'll try to get to those. The Thunder hired a coach. They actually did it. They made it happen. Mark Degnault is the new head coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder. If you've been listening to our pod, you knew it last week. You already knew it last week. He was going to be the man anyways. We also have Chris Paul to the Suns rumors. We've got the Houston Rockets imploding before our very eyes. This is just great. This is just wonderful. Michele, your thoughts on the Degnault hire first.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, we don't know anything about the coaching philosophy, nor the way in which he will relate to players or the way he will develop them. But there are some things that I like about hiring a guy that has been a coach of a senior team and that has a good track in terms of, well, what you hear about development. So I think that OKC will need both in the next few years. And even if we cannot know anything about the if he will take many threes or if he will prioritize defense, offense, we don't really know that. But I also like that, with the fact that we will do some discovery in the next few months. So yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense.
Yeah, I thought, Andrew, I thought your question was probably the best question that was asked at the press conference, because you're the only person who ventured to ask him what his offensive philosophy was. And it wasn't like his answer was that illuminating, but it is something that I wanted to know. And he did basically say pace and space, just with a lot more words. Mm-hmm. And that was his main focus, but he did bring up analytics. He did say that word. So that's something. So yeah, I think he did a great job at the press conference.
Yeah, he's very, very nice guy. It's hard to know what to ask, because there are things that you'd want to ask him that you know that he won't answer. And so you have to think about what are the answerable questions that you can ask him? Because you can't just ask him anything. And it's hard to know. Hey, we've never seen you as the head coach of an NBA team. What do you do? You know, you're trying to ask a question like that. And it's hard to know, because Billy Donovan would write pace and space and stuff like that on the whiteboard in the Thunder locker room every single year he was there, you know, and still you just have guys pounding the ball, and it's just, you can have an offensive philosophy, but it is so dependent on who your players are and really who your best players are. And so perhaps you will see more of pace and space with, really, they don't have a superstar, especially if the Suns or Knicks or whoever actually trade for Chris. I would say that maybe you actually have a chance of forming that kind of offense, pace and space, and he can tell them what to do and tell them how to do it, and they'll probably go do it. Even Shai will probably go do it. So we may actually have a better idea of what kind of coach he is than we really ever had an idea of what Billy Donovan was as a coach, because every single year was so dictated by the stars that he had and what they were doing. Probably this last year, maybe less so, but I think we may be able to actually see what kind of coach he is with this young group that we are probably going to be seeing come December 22nd.
Yeah, about that. I mean, isn't it a trait of a great coach to try to maximize the player you have and therefore like changing a bit what you do on the court in order to maximize their value? I mean, mm-hmm. if you look at the way in which the Spurs were playing the last few years compared to like the previous version, like with Kawhi and without LaMarcus Aldridge, they clearly take way more mid-range shots than what is like the tendency in the league or what yeah. was their prior way to play basketball. But I think that one thing that Billy did and was to try to maximize Westbrook in a way that Russ would try to implement on the court. Because it's tricky to find the balance between what you can ask to your star player and what you cannot ask. Like you can try to ask Harden to move, or you can try to maximize like basketball using the fact that he's one of the greatest isolation players of the last 20 years at least. So I'm curious. Like I like the idea of pace and space, and with guys like Bazley and Shea, and to a certain degree also Lu Dort, who is a great cutter when he wants to be, and Steven Adams, who can be a very good passer, especially if you put him in certain positions, and a good screener. I would love to see some movement, and I think that with the idea of pace and space, trying to find guys that can move off screens and trying to create movement with their gravity is something that OKC really never had because they had a lot of ball dominant players. And so maybe this is the year where some way OKC can get a player that is able to unlock certain stuff that weren't there in the past for various reasons, because even last year the real movement was not really there. There was a lot of passing, a lot of pick and rolls and schemes at the top of the key, but there was no guy like running around screen and be targeted by Chris Paul or others. It was a different kind of passing and movement.
Yeah, it's really just a waiting game with Mark, right? Like we're just waiting to see like what kind of coach that he's going to be. And I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see what they'll do with the roster. I really think that that's going to really determine so much of all of this.
Yeah.
Is what they do with the roster. What do they do with Dennis Schröder? Which did you guys see? I think I sent it to you guys. Did you see Dennis Schröder fake painting on his Instagram today?
I saw that you sent the video, but my day has been crazy and I didn't have time to look at. Is it funny?
This I also saw the video.
Should I also saw watch the video it?
And had I had more time than Mikey and still didn't click on it.
You gotta click on it. It's just him rubbing a paintbrush on a door frame. He's just rubbing it. I don't understand it. Anyways, I don't know if he'll be doing that in OKC or somewhere else. But I think the way this roster shapes up will determine a lot. And I also just think you hire a 35-year-old to come take over your multi-billion dollar company. Mm-hmm. You're probably looking to cut some costs, number one. And you're trying to, like you said, like this is a discovery period. And it's going to last years with Mark Daigneault, with who he is, with how he can develop the Thunder. Have chosen him to be the guy that is going to be here for a while. And they're going to invest in him and they're going to see how he develops as a coach and as a leader. And I think that we're going to have, I mean, this is a really, it's interesting because it's a discovery period for players, for the coaching staff, and even for Sam in a way, because Sam has not really done what he's about to do. He kind of did, but he got the accelerated version of this because the first player that he got in his last rebuild was Kevin Durant. Like they don't have a Kevin Durant to start this rebuild. And so this is...
Whoa. You don't know that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Jaden McDaniels will be Kevin Durant. Are you saying that you cannot draft Kevin Durant at 25?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Probably true.
Oh, it's crazy. Anything else on Mark Degnaw, he is the first coach. I think I mentioned this. Or maybe I didn't. I've done three different shows already today. I don't know what I've said on this and haven't. But he is the first coach to go from the organization's G League head coach to the organization's head coach of the NBA team. He's the very first guy to do it. A lot of people said, I think it's Nick Nurse. It's not Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse was the coach of the Rio Grande Valley Vipers and then moved to the Raptors. So he's the very first guy to do it. It's pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Pretty damn cool.
So he was also, he actually came over before Billy did to the Thunder, before Billy became the head coach of the Thunder. And I don't know. I like him. I know people that are connected to him that really, really like him as a person. So it's great. I think it's a good thing for the organization. So, but still a lot to learn about Mark Degnaw in the coming years, really. So, okay. It's time to talk about Chris Paul going to the Suns.
So we got some comments that Gambo is on the case. He says there's an 85% chance. If you don't know who Gambo is, I'm talking about John Gambadoro, who is a sports talk radio host in Phoenix. And he apparently gave it an 85% chance of happening.
Well, yeah. Gambadoro is pretty well connected. I mean, he rarely miss. So, and again, I think there were talks already in the winter about OKC and Phoenix exchanging players. Not sure it was Chris Paul or other point guards, but OKC has two very, very good point guards. And I think that it makes sense for a team like Phoenix that can pay a pretty okay price, because I think that something like Rubio plus Oubre rerouted maybe to some team and a protected first will do the deal. And it's basically a swap between Chris Paul and Kelly Oubre in terms of the most valuable player. And there is no guarantee that you can retain Oubre in the coming season because it will cost, probably. So I don't think that is a bad idea. Now, if Presti is able to squeeze the number 10, maybe in exchange for number 25, I don't know. That would be ideal. But again, I think that the idea of having Rubio, who is not like a bad player or a bad guy, and having like an extra asset for Chris Paul, it's something that is already enough. And I think that having a team interested makes all easier for Sam. Because if there is another team that was like maybe offering something like, I don't know, Dennis Smith Jr. or whatever, then you need to raise the bar a little bit. And so I think it's interesting, very interesting. And it makes sense for a guy like Chris Paul to, if LA or Miami are really not in place and Milwaukee is not in place because of assets and unwanted contract by OKC, which is, I think, a very good position to have, then Phoenix has a lot of upside. Because if you make the playoffs, you already made like a great season and you improve your stock for the future, for your next contract, because he can choose, like after this year, he can really choose to forgo his player option if there is another contract. Say that a team like LA offers like a 3-year, $60 million, then you may want to go there. Like it's in his power. Yeah. So, and with that, I really have to go and to get dinner. Otherwise, well, I don't want to find out otherwise.
Yeah, no, go. Thanks for joining for a short time. I appreciate it.
Bye, guys.
See you, McKelly.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. you can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
So Alex, what are your initial thoughts on what the makeup of this Suns trade will be? Because nothing is leaked as far as specific players in the deal. But there's obviously the Oubre Rubio foundation of a trade that makes sense. But what do you expect? Because I would expect them to have to send more back to Oklahoma City, right?
Expecting the Suns to send more back?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because I think we had these hopes of the 10th pick, but we should mention that John Gambadoro just tweeted, "I would not expect the 10th pick in the draft to be a part of any trade for Chris Paul. Can't say never, but from what I'm hearing, Suns would be hard-pressed to give that up in this trade. Suns would use up a lot of cap space and basically have to rely on exceptions to sign players."
Yeah.
Which I think is totally true. I think the hope from our side is that they're able to create enough of a leverage situation with some other team where the Suns would be forced to eventually give us some type of better asset. But I don't know if the 10th pick is going to be it. Maybe it ends up being something in the future that makes more sense for the Suns.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that you can push them though. Like, they're getting an all NBA guy they essentially get to take their 8-0 roster and just swap Rubio for Chris Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Because Oubre wasn't in the bubble.
And for a team that hasn't made the playoffs in a decade and who has an owner who really wants to make the playoffs, I think it makes a ton of sense, and it's not a bad deal for them either. I mean,
yeah,
Chris Paul arguably would have less of a burden on him than he even had last year, and his burden was already decreased last year. I mean, there were so many times when it was Schroeder or SGA actually initiating the offense. In Phoenix, like, Booker's still going to have his super high usage, and so Chris is going to be even like a better version of himself from last year, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a great situation for Chris and for the Suns as well. It doesn't guarantee them a playoff spot, which is the only tough thing about it, because the Western Conference is just ridiculous. But I think that they'll put themselves in a really good spot to where I think that they can talk themselves into, well, we could just be Oklahoma City, and we're like, they'll be the 5 seed. That's what the Thunder were. We could do that.
Right. Yeah, no, and I really think they'd have a great shot. To be like a surprise team next year, like not just competing for the 8th seed at the end of the year. Because in this scenario, we think that the Thunder are going to drop out. So now we're really talking about them versus teams like New Orleans, who may be trading Drew Holiday, one of their veterans, maybe signaling a youth movement there. We're talking about the Kings, who I don't think any of us have any faith in. The Spurs. Yeah. And then we're talking about the Blazers, who are going to be healthier next year, and we expect them to be a playoff team. But
yeah,
I don't know. I would be very excited for the Suns if they got Chris Paul. I think we might even be underrating how big of an impact Chris Paul could have in that situation.
Yeah. Could be true. So if they got the 10th pick, who would you want them to take at 10?
I still don't have a strong preference for any of these guys. I think that where the Thunder are right now, if they did decide to swing for the fences with a Poku-like pick, I'd be totally open to it, because the way things are setting up, both with their existing picks and with the Houston news out today, and you could even argue with some of the Clippers news coming out with their interest in Russell Westbrook, like, their future continues to look really, really good. And they're at such an early stage of this. If they think there's any chance they could get a future star at 10, I would much rather them take that chance now than just grabbing someone who they think is going to be a solid rotation player going forward.
Yeah, like if Killian Hayes lasted to 10, which is certainly possible.
Yeah, something like that.
Super into that. If Okoro lasted to 10, I'd be very much into that as well. And then if those guys are gone and you're having to choose between like the Aaron Naismiths and Devin Vassell and Kira Lewis Jr. and Precious Achiuwa, like I would probably just take Pokuševski or even RJ Hampton at that spot instead. Like you said, like swing for the fences here. If you miss, yeah, like who cares? Like it's fine. But I think that believe in their development.
We were joking last night before the trivia show that it seems like Presti always gets really excited with these bad drafts, because the last bad draft like this was the Anthony Bennett draft where the Thunder took Steven Adams that Giannis was in, and it was just completely mixed up in terms of like where the actual value was in that draft. And we ended up getting a ton of players from that draft on our team at some point. Mm-hmm. I mean, Oladipo was there. There's a bunch of others. So I do wonder if he's looking at this draft the same way. Is like, maybe I should be even more aggressive from the outset, because if I really do identify these guys that I think are worth getting on the team, I should go after them now, because the relative cost might be a little bit cheaper than it would be in a normal year, instead of waiting for these guys to develop on other teams where they're not going to be in your system. So I'm still open to the idea that OKC might make a move for multiple picks in this draft, especially in the first round. I think that's a strong possibility.
Yeah, I think that the mindset should be for OKC, for a team that like, they do a tremendous amount of scouting. I mean, they've watched all of these guys in person, because they're out at the beginning of the college season and during the EuroLeague seasons, and they've seen all these guys in person, I would assume, and they know these guys and they have talked to a lot of them. And my guess is that they don't think of this like, oh, this is a bad draft. They think, what are the opportunities here for the team? What's the opportunity here to grab the guy? Like, how do we get the Giannis or the Rudy Gobert or whoever the diamond in the rough is with this team? I think that's the mindset, is how do we find those? Because the 13 draft was bad, but it had gems in it too. The 13 draft, Alex, I was just saying the 13 draft had gems in it as well. And so the Thunder are searching for those gems. Digging through the sand.
Got to get those gems.
Finding the gems. Someone in the chat says they saw a report that the Phoenix OKC trade has evolved into including the Clips and Mavs. Thoughts? Oh, four team trade. That's just, to me, that just makes it seem like it's even less likely to happen.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the Mavs definitely are looking for, all the reports have been that the Mavs are looking for a third star, even though this doesn't seem like the year where it'd be easiest to do that. Next summer would be a much easier time. So I don't know. I'm skeptical about anything with the Mavs, because all the indications are that they have a chance with Giannis if that ends up becoming a reality. And so if they make a move where they're taking back long-term money, that kind of signals to me that the Giannis thing isn't happening. Because I think if you have any shot at that, you have to preserve that cap space.
You have to. Okay, I don't have much time left because today's an insanely busy day, but we got to go at least a few minutes on the implosion of the Houston Rockets. What are your really, I just want to know about your feelings. I don't care about your thoughts.
First of all, you got to give a shout out to Cuffs the Legend on Twitter. Tweeted out that he was going to reveal some spicy Westbrook news in the next 24 to 48 hours. Never did it. But we did get some spicy news eventually.
Yep.
And I don't know what to think about this, because if you read the actual report, it says that Harden and Russ were on board with the hiring of Steven Silas. So it doesn't seem to be about the coach necessarily. They still like each other. There doesn't seem to be any rift between James Harden and Russell Westbrook. All of this seems to be coming from the fact that just the overall turnover with the organization, both with the GM, who we've talked about before, Daryl Morey, is more closely linked to James Harden and his success than any other person in the league. Him leaving James Harden, abandoning him. You have all the issues with the owner that we know. You have a new GM. You have a new coach. All of that upheaval and roster turnover. Like, I totally get where Harden and Westbrook are coming from, But it seems that they haven't necessarily demanded a trade yet. It's more just they're unhappy with the uncertainty of the team's immediate future. I feel like that's the exact wording of the reports. But I feel like where this is headed, or well, we all know where it's headed. It's a question of whether it happens this year, during this season, or after next season. Because all of us agree that we do not think the Rockets, as currently constructed, are going to be championship contenders next year.
Definitely not.
We think they'll at best be kind of that next tier down. Maybe they make, or they probably make the second round. Maybe they make a conference finals, but that would be the extent of it. That is going to be a disappointment to James Harden at this point. So knowing that, if he hasn't requested a trade now, it kind of doesn't matter, because it seems like this is all setting up for him to request a trade at some point. The interesting part is if it happens during the season, which is entirely possible because of the way this season's going to be constructed. What if that happens and he requests that trade in season? It would be the absolute best scenario for the Thunder, because the Rockets won't become a bottom four team automatically. They're going to get a haul back for James Harden if they ever decide to trade him, but they are going to get significantly worse and would probably still miss the playoffs, which means that pick next year would be valuable. It could potentially be like a late lottery pick, or maybe even a little bit better, but would have less risk to jump up into that top four. So I think it's setting up perfect for the Thunder right now.
It's great. I'm going to read the sentence of the day from this article. And credit to Woj or Tim McMahon or whoever wrote it. It's a great sentence. Although neither player has requested a trade at this point, that scenario has become a plausible eventual possibility.
And this goes back to Daryl Morey putting out that leak that the 76ers were going to be aggressive in trading for James Harden, even though there was no reports at that point that James Harden had requested a trade or that anything was wrong until that report came out. It's like, Daryl Morey knows. Like he has been close to James Harden this whole time. There's a reason why he would make that leak. And then you get the reports about the Knicks or the Clippers wanting Russell Westbrook. And again, like the Clippers trading for Russell Westbrook, I think long-term is a really good thing for the Thunder as well.
Oh, dude.
Because again, if they fail again next year, didn't make it out of the second round this year. If they failed again next year, now you have Kawhi and PG as free agents. They're going to be coming off the season where they're supposed to create the super team over these past 2 years. Hasn't gotten them anywhere, all hypothetical. Maybe they win next year. Okay. But in this scenario where they don't win, like, what are those guys going to do? Because at that point, if that happened in this scenario where the Clippers do not win next year, I guarantee you that Westbrook's trade value is going to be even lower than it is right now, because he's still going to have 2 years left on that deal. So that sets up a scenario where Kawhi and or PG could just leave the Clippers.
Oh, yeah.
For greener pastures.
For sure. Yeah, if the Clippers trade for Russell Westbrook, I think that we might see Sam Presti and Mark Daigneault giggle a little bit more than they just did when they were talking about Springsteen in the press conference.
Oh, man, some classic Springsteen banter.
You should have seen. It was hilarious watching them talk about Springsteen together.
I watched the whole thing.
You watched it? Okay.
I'm glad that Jenny asked that question, because it was like the first time that they kind of loosened up.
Yeah. Oh, it was so funny. She asked it, and she throws. They didn't. They were like bouncing it back and forth. Who was going to talk about Springsteen first, and then. Whenever Sam started talking about Bruce Springsteen, the face and just like the giggle that started in with Mark Daigneault was so funny. Oh, it was so good. And it was great. Also, I would just encourage you to go listen to the song of the day from The Boss. Land of Hope and Dreams is the song of the day from Mark Daigneault. So, and also it's Mark Daigneault. If you watch the presser, you heard Sam Presti say it was Mark Daigneault. In the press release, in the media guide, it's Mark Daigneault. Like go and look at Brett Dawson's tweet. I'm pretty sure that's how you say it. So this may be an Abrinish situation that we have on our hands here.
Just got to call him Mark.
Just call him Mark. Thanks so much for listening. We'll cut this one short today because it's an incredibly busy day for me, but we appreciate you guys listening. We will have that trivia pod posted at some point, but right now we're kind of in the midst of some turbulent Thunder news, so we're gonna we'll can that for now. But I hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and we will talk to you guys again on Friday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.